Shopify grows your business no matter how far or big you grow. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling your fans' next favorite shirt or an exclusive piece of podcast merch, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Allbirds, Rothy's, Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/income, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/income now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in.
This content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion advised.
I realize there appears to be the same man standing off in the shadows watching us.
Like electric blue orb came out of one wall and went into the other wall.
They're dead.
How many people?
Right now, I only see two. I didn't go all the way in, but my son is one of them.
From Disturbed Media, join your host, Chad, for true tales of horror, bizarre happenings, and unexplainable events. This is Disturbed.
Welcome back in, everyone, and thanks for joining me. This week, I'm bringing you one true tale, one listener voicemail, and one real 911 call that will frighten and disturb. So sit back and listen close as we dive into the horror. We open the show hearing from Reddit user FuzzyMap922, featuring voice work by Kiona Bashful Echo, and we think we're being followed.
I, 29-year-old female, have been hiking at a wooded trail near my house for about 3 years now, and it's my favorite trail due to the beautiful waterfalls and meadows, but had several creepy encounters over the years. Luckily, I always hike with my 90-pound Bernese Baker. He's the sweetest boy, but will protect me. First encounter was 3 years ago in the winter when I was walking up a hill and Baker starts growling, unlike I've ever heard. I look around and realize there's a man in the shadow of the woods watching us. When I notice him, he starts walking slowly towards us with his head covered. I said hello as usual, and he didn't respond. I kept walking and got a feeling that I should turn back. When I did, I realized he had turned around on the trail, middle of a hill, so not a common turnaround point. But once he saw me, he walked into the woods and stared out at the valley, hugging a tree. So, nothing too crazy, but it just felt off. Around the same time a year later, Baker and I were walking on the same trail, and again, Baker starts growling. He's usually very excited to meet anyone or anything. I realize there appears to be the same man standing off in the shadows watching us. But I figured maybe Baker just scared him, so he was standing away from us, waiting to cross the bridge. Otherwise, he easily could have kept walking along the trail instead of waiting for us. We cross the bridge and keep walking. I again get a feeling that I should turn around. When I do, I realize he is behind us, so had no reason to be waiting for us to cross the bridge. I sit down with Baker by my side and pull out my phone while making it clear I've seen him, not staring, just glancing in his direction. He stops when I turn around, even though I'm off the trail and not in his way, but continues walking after I pull out my phone. I start walking back and find a large stick he had left that had been sharpened with a knife into a spear. I take the spear and continue walking, while looking around me the entire time. I know now I should have reported it at this point, but I just convinced myself I was being paranoid. About a year later in the winter, I'm walking along the same path, maybe stupid, but I took a year off and again just convinced myself I was paranoid. It's snowing with the trails mostly empty, and I suddenly see a bunch of trees with frowning faces made out of snow, despite not seeing anyone on the trail for miles. Baker again starts growling at something in the woods that I can't see. So we turn around. I don't report it because I figured it would never be taken seriously. Then today, a few months later, I'm walking along the trail and find a tree with "I see you" written in chalk. I immediately get a weird feeling and turn back and report it to the park rangers and police. I'm working with park rangers to keep an eye out. After sharing in my hiking groups on Facebook, several women have come forward with similar experiences at the same place. One woman was stalked by a man in a full snowsuit in the middle of July on this trail. Another was followed all the way to her car with him appearing along the trail watching her from the woods at various points. All of you calling me stupid for hiking on my favorite trail after waiting a year to go back are typical victim blamers, and I don't like you. I am listening to the suggestions not to go back, but belittling me is unnecessary. I'm scared enough. Update 2. 6 different women have come forward with similar experiences, with a similar-looking man at the same park. They've all reported it to the rangers. I interviewed with the local news, they reached out to me, and it's everywhere. Rangers are not happy with me for sharing it with the public, but that's fine with me, as everyone has a right to know. Someone wiped off the "I see you" message before the news team could see it. It rained, but not that heavily. 3 separate women messaged me thinking it was the same exact guy, despite the women not knowing each other. They stated he is unstable and spends most days at this park. His cousin reported him too. I shared his name and photos with the rangers, and apparently the suspect is an old park ranger himself. So we shall see. Oh, and the suspect apparently loves climbing trees and has a bunch of photos of himself 50 feet in the air. So he's probably up in the trees watching. Update 3. Apparently, he has a secret spot in these woods where he has a chainsaw and gasoline. We reported it to the rangers. Pretty sure having a secret campground in a public park is illegal, with or without a chainsaw. And stalking intimidation is a form of illegal assault, so there's no reason he can't at least be questioned.
You're listening to Disturbed from Disturbed Media.
Next up, we have a listener voicemail from Danielle, and she just may have opened the door to some activity.
All right, so this is a really long story. I'm gonna try to make it as short as possible. My name is Danielle. I'm 32 years old now. I left South Carolina to go be with my ex. We'll call him Charles. I was probably like 21 years old. First of all, I've always been super interested in paranormal things, but I had never experienced anything. I just was really into it, you know? Charles had a 12-year-old daughter, and we'll call her Caitlin. So we were living in this house. We moved into this house in North Carolina that was just spooky. It wasn't like a bad kind of spooky, but you could definitely feel a presence, you know? There would be, I was told that someone passed away in the house, but he didn't seem like a malevolent entity. But he was clearly there. You know, you'd hear the floor shift every now and then, and it's not like a creaky old house situation. The floor would move like someone was walking around the house. You'd see shadows, stuff like that. So Caitlin, the 12-year-old, got it in her head one day that she went over to a friend's house and came back with a Ouija board. And so for fun, I thought, yeah, why not? Let's do it. Let's see if we can contact whoever this is in the house. And I know that was dumb now. we decided to take the Ouija board to the edge of the woods, and we got two chairs and put it on a cut log and had everything set up with the candles and everything like that. And we just thought we were doing the coolest thing, you know. But I'm also kind of, I wouldn't say a prankster, but, you know, she's 12. It seemed like an easy opportunity to, like, freak her out a little bit. But, I was going to tell her later. But I had decided I was going to pick at her and, like, you know, move the planchette around a little bit and scare her. Probably about 30 minutes into us just laughing and having a good time and being silly and not really being respectful with what we were doing, we heard a laugh, man. Like, the woods beside us, you couldn't see into the actual woods because it was so thick with vegetation. We heard this laugh, y'all, and it sounded like someone trying to laugh. It was close. I mean, like, on the other side of these bushes. It sounded like, the best way I can describe it, it sounded like someone laughing, like a man laughing with mud in his lungs. Like, it was just a gurgly cackle kind of sound. We immediately left everything where it was. Like, we left everything. The candles burning, everything. We ran inside. Anyway, that set off a strange chain of events. The rest of the night was fine. Mind you, the 12-year-old Caitlin, she did not live with us at the time. So she went back to her mother's house that night. And everything seemed fine until that night. I started getting really weird vibes that were besides the normal vibes from the house. Like, it was like a separate entity in the house. So it started off with, like, small things. The 90s, they had those touch lamps where you touch them and they get brighter and brighter. So I had one of those up against the corner of the wall, like a good 10 feet away from the bed, you know. And I remember waking up in the middle of the night one night and the lamp was on. So I turned it off. This is like the same night or the night after. I turn the lamp off, get up, I go to the bathroom, and you can see my bedroom from the bathroom door in the hallway. And my boyfriend at the time is asleep in the bed. From the bathroom, I can see the light turn on. And I was like, okay, maybe it's a short circuit, you know, it's an old lamp, whatever. So I went in the room and turned it off. I went back to sleep and I woke up to an absolute feeling of dread. We had a closet in the room, and to this day, I won't sleep with closet doors open. I won't. I woke up, I'm not sure what time it was in the middle of the night, but it looked like the room was black, but it looked like this particular part of the room in front of the closet, the best way I can describe it was advanced darkness. I couldn't stop looking at this area. I tried to ignore it, whatever. So the next day, I have my friend Amanda over at the house, and we're talking. I'm standing in the bathroom area in the middle of the hallway, and she's in my living room, and we both watch probably about the size of a basketball, like, electric blue orb came out of one wall and went into the other wall. And I thought for a moment that I had lost my mind. So I look up at Amanda and she's already looking at me and she's like, did you see that? I'm like, I did. That was kind of like the second thing that happened. And then we had, what are they called? Security panels all over the walls on each side of the house. So if you even tapped on the side of the house, the alarm would go off and let you know what part of the house was getting messed with. And sometimes all of the alarms would go off at once, and like you hear tapping and stuff like that. And the feeling in the house just kept getting nastier and nastier. I was getting really bad dreams and sleep paralysis. And about 2 weeks after the Ouija board situation, I'm laying in bed and I get that same feeling, and my eyes pop open. Like, it's not like a slow wake up like you normally do. My eyes snapped open and I could not stop staring at the closet. it was that advanced darkness again, and I just felt an overwhelming sense of dread, man. I know this sounds crazy. I get goosebumps talking about it. I don't like talking about it because, you know, how, you know, manifestations and stuff. But y'all, when I tell you that the covers of the bed, like, I woke up and it was like almost sleep paralysis. I could not move. I couldn't speak because I was trying to get my boyfriend's attention, like wanting to touch him and be like, help me. I see something. Like, there's something in the corner of the room. I can't see it, but I feel it. I know it's there. And the covers flew off of me. Like, not just like pulled off of me like you see in horror movies. It was like that part from Hook, the movie Hook, when their bed sheets flew off of them. It was like that. The bed sheet flew up in the air, not like all the way off the bed, but the bed sheet lifted up off of me and got thrown across the bed onto my boyfriend. And I finally muster up a scream. And I like slap him away, you know, not slap him, but I like pop him in the chest and I'm like, hey, this just happened. And of course he didn't believe me, but the people that moved, we moved out of that place and had friends move in after us. And they still to this day will tell me about the things that go on in that house. And I tried to spend the night there a few years after that incident, going to visit my friends, you know, and it was like a friend, or not even a friend, like somebody, like, and it was almost like the energy changed when I walked into the house. Like, it remembered me, you know. And I spent the whole night having awful dreams about like this demon crawling up the side of the wall and like just like sitting, like crawling attached to the ceiling above my bed. And he just stayed there all night. And, you know, I didn't see that, but it was in my dreams. And I just thought that that was a super awful experience that I might wanted to share. I've got a lot more that started happening after this because, like I said, it set off a chain of paranormal events in my life. And I still to this day see crazy stuff. But yeah, don't mess with Ouija boards, y'all.
Get your voice on Disturbed with our hotline, available 24/7, completely free. Tell us your experience or just leave your comments on the show. Visit hotline.disturbedpodcast.com on your mobile device or computer.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's bachelorette bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
On the morning of August 1st, 1966, shots ring out from the observation deck of the clock tower on the University of Texas campus. It marks the infamous beginning of the modern era of mass shootings in America.
You're listening to Stop the Killing podcast. Join us as we take you behind the crime scene tape to explain global mass shootings and mass attacks. I'm Sarah Ferris, but more importantly, this is Catherine Schweit, the former head of the FBI's active shooter program.
I spent 5 years as the FBI's top executive looking for answers to the mass shooting crisis. I've been at the shooting scenes. I've traced heroic acts of bravery. And I've sat silently and listened to the heart-wrenching stories from survivors.
Amongst this horror, there is hope. We all hold the key to stop the killing. You just need to know how to unlock the door. Download Stop the Killing and be part of the solution. Search Stop the Killing on Apple, Spotify, and all the usual suspects.
Hi, I'm Matt Harris. Seton Tucker and I host the podcast Impact of Influence, which for 2 years covered in depth Alec Murdoch, who was eventually convicted in 2023 of murdering his wife Maggie and son Paul. That story continues to evolve, and we will cover that. Plus, we will tell you stories of other true crime events that have happened in the South. Please join us on Impact of Influence. And give us a follow on the Impact of Influence Facebook page.
You're listening to Disturbed. Now, back to the horror.
This week, we're closing out the show a little differently, with a real 911 call. The audio you are going to hear is real and unedited. February 9th, 2015. 22-year-old Corey Moss and 24-year-old Stacy Hall were friends and had their share of run-ins with police. Whatever they happened to be involved in led to a shooting at Stacy's apartment. Stacy's mother had received a call that her son had been involved in a shooting. She arrived at the apartment with another one of her sons and called 911.
Gwinnett County 911, what is the location of your emergency?
1400 Harrington Road, Lawrenceville, Georgia.
What apartment number?
5302.
5302?
Yes.
Okay. What's the phone number you're calling from, ma'am?
678.
What's going on there, ma'am?
Police. I got a call at work that there was a shooting that my son was involved in, and I just arrived at this location. There's no police here, and they are dead in the apartment.
You said
the police car, now it's gone. It's not a cop here, and they said the police was notified.
Okay.
I just left my job, and I come here, and the door is open, and then yeah.
Okay. I am sure the police have been notified. They are on the way. You said they're dead in the apartment?
They're dead.
How many people?
Right now, I only see two. I didn't go all the way in, but my son is one of them.
Okay. All right. What is your name, ma'am?
My name is Dawn, D-A-W-N.
What is your last name, Dawn?
H-A-L-L-PORTER. Oh, my God.
Where are you at right now, Dawn?
I'm standing in front of the building. Once my son pushed the door open and we could see the bodies, and we turned around and called 911 because somebody called me at work and told me my son was involved in a shooting. So I got my manager's permission to leave, and me and my son just came. They gave us the address and everything, and we just arrived here thinking the police would be here to find out what's going on. No cops are here. We go and knock on the door, but when he went to knock, the door pushed open, and you could see the bodies there.
Okay. Is your son still outside with you?
My other son is laying up there shot.
And I've got paramedics and police both coming out there, I understand. Okay, and your other son's outside with you, though, right?
Yeah, he left his job in Alpharetta and came and picked me up because I was too hysterical to drive. And then I get here thinking that I'll find out what's going on, and there's no cop here or anything whatsoever. And I was informed that it was reported to the police. Then I gotta come and find you.
Oh. Okay, it's an apartment 5302, correct?
Yes, 1400 Harrington Road, apartment 5302. Oh, Jesus, I didn't think I'd have to find him this way. Oh my God. Deb on the phone. Come on, hello.
All right, we're getting somebody to you, okay? But I'm going to keep you on the line until we have someone there, okay? And you're at 5302, is that apartment, right?
Yes.
And that's 1400 Harrington Road.
Yes.
Wesley Harrington Apartments, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So there should be somebody in there to you. Just a moment, okay? They're coming as quite fast as they can.
Get into your dial pad. I don't believe this. So within the time that I got this phone call, you tell me no cops have been here, that anybody could just go up there, push the door open, and see these bodies laying there.
Okay, I do show they did have some officers on the area, but they weren't sure.
I see the cars, but they're not pulling up here. He's turning around.
Okay.
You're blind as hell. Maybe they're the cops are just now getting here. We walked in and find the bodies on the, in the place. He's crying. Oh, my God. I gotta hang up. The cops are here. Okay. No.
Is the officer with you?
Yes.
Okay.
You talk to
no, you go ahead and you talk to the officer, ma'am.
911.
All right. Thanks.
911 is 531.
All right. Go ahead and meet with her. Thanks.
All right.
Both Corey and Stacy had been shot to death. Investigators had urged the public to come forward with any information that may be helpful. Authorities received surveillance video of a silver Ford 500 that they believed was the getaway vehicle. Unfortunately, since then, 4 years have gone by and the case remains open and unsolved.
Follow our social channels on Facebook and Instagram at Disturbed Podcast and on Twitter at Disturbed_Pod.
A big shout out to our newest Plus members, The Furry Exterminator, Rennie Ray, Angelica Gonzalez, Shy Moonlight Mayhem, and Maria Steffel. If you enjoyed the show, please consider joining Plus at disturbedpodcast.com/plus. But if you can't, consider leaving a positive rating and review on your favorite listening platform. Share your own true horror story at disturbedpodcast.com. Music by Carl Casey at WhiteBatAudio and Co.ag. And don't forget to stay safe out there, y'all.